The Tulsa Oiler Diamond Baseball Dinner was one of the best big league dinners in the country, organized by A. Ray Smith, owner of the Tulsa Oilers, a farm club of the St. Louis Cardinals. Baseball's greatest would attend, and speaking at the dinner in 1973 at the Camelot Inn was Joe DiMaggio, who was made an honorary Indian chief, followed by Oklahoman Allie Reynolds and Casey Stengel. The first voice you hear is that of the MC, Pat Buttram, known for playing the sidekick of Gene Autry and for playing the character Mr. Haney in the TV series Green Acres. At the time of the dinner, January 19, 1973, DiMaggio was 59, Reynolds 56, and Stengel 82. The event was broadcast on radio station KVOO, preserved by baseball historian Wayne McCombs, and is now heard on Voices of Oklahoma's Memorable Events.
I might tell you this is an installation dance they're doing. And they're installing, making an honorary chief, the one and only, great Joe DiMaggio. You're being made a chief right now. Come on, watch it, Joe. Pamela Chiboli, princess, who is going to do the honors for Joe DiMaggio.
Mr. DiMaggio, we would like to take this opportunity to welcome you to the land of the Red Band by making you an honorary chief of the Indian people in Oklahoma. Your Indian name is Rocky Solitawa Kuto Husi, meaning Great Warrior of the Golden Sun. This bonnet is a symbol of strength, courage, and leadership, which we feel is equally befitting its owner.
What is his name again? Now tell him once more so he'll remember.
It's Rocky.
Rocky.
Solitawa.
Solitawa.
Kuto.
Kuto.
Husi.
Husi. You know what that means?
I hardly know what that means, but I think I know what I will do. I'll get Yogi Berra to interpret this for me.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. I feel like the prodigal son has just returned after all these years. After all, it is over 31 years since I've been back here. I did play exhibition games like in 1936, 37, till 1941. And relating to 1941, I would like to tell of an incident during the time that the great Yankees, and they were great at that time. We used to barnstorm through here, and maybe I could make mention of the team. We had a catcher, we had Bill Dickey. At first base, we had Lou Gehrig. At second base, Tony Lazzari, shortstop Frank Grissetti. We had Red Rolf at third base. And the outfield, we had Jake Powell and Selkirk, and I was playing the center field. Now, for pitchers, the starters, we had Red Ruffing, and, of course, the great Goofy Gomez. And you'll know why I called him Goofy as I tell you this story. It was right here in the ninth inning. Of course, down the middle, you noticed I did say Frank Grissetti, Tony Lazzari, and I was out there, three Italians. And affectionately, by our teammates, we were called Dago. Come the ninth inning, in this particular game, the lefty was pitching. There was a bunt situation. The tie score and the man on first base. Well, the batter gets up and hits this ball a little too hard, and it gets to Gomez on the first hop. Well, naturally, it's the catcher's duty to yell where to throw the ball. So he yells, "Throw it to the Dago! Throw it to the Dago!" He threw it out to me in center field. That's a true story, and it happened right here. Just to give you a little more of an illustration about the great Goofy Gomez, there was another situation where there was two outs. play in Detroit, Goose Gosling gets up to bat and hits a ball right at him. Now, the ball game is over. He throws the ball to first base. But he decides to throw this ball to second base. And it's going like this, and nobody's covering second. So he winds up throwing the ball to Tony Lazzeri at second base. But Tony, being quite curious, you know, after all hands were safe, he didn't want to throw the ball back, so he just walked to the mound and said, "Now look, what's going on here? What are you trying to do? What, make a farce of this game?" He said, "Look, Tony," he says, "just yesterday in Chicago," he said, "in the sporting page," he said, "I read where the headline, Tony Lazzeri, smartest second base in the major leagues." He says, "Now," he said, "I didn't know what to do with the ball." He said, "I wanted to see what you would do with it." Ladies and gentlemen, I'm getting kind of top heavy. And I don't want to take too much more time because I don't want to waste the fun of all you out here listening to the great Casey Stengel, because they tell me there's a time limit. But I am grateful to you, ladies and gentlemen, for giving me the opportunity to say hello. And to A. Ray Smith, thank you for many things. Good night.
I always say everything will equal out if we just let nature take its course. For instance, you notice in the West here, we got more buffalo than we need nowadays, and the railroads are extinct. You notice that? It all equals out. I'd like to introduce a man who is going to make an introduction. He's going to introduce one of the all-time greats, and he is a man who knows him because he is a great Yankee himself and a great player. Let's bring up to the microphone Allie Reynolds. Here he is. Allie.
Thank you. As always, it's nice to be here at the Diamond Dinner, one of the greatest of its kind anywhere that I've attended, at least. They gave me a quick switcheroo here. I've made a speech to present to DiMaggio, and I had so many nice things to say about him. First of all, he was directly responsible for the trade from the Cleveland Indians, where I went to the New York Yankees, and certainly that was nice, for more reasons than one. First of all, I didn't have to pitch to him, and secondly, he ran down my mistakes, and I was making a lot of them at that time. Probably the fact that I was a bit on the wild side during my earlier years, and it was sort of a moral victory if I stayed between the third and first base lines sometimes when I threw pitches. I just want to say again, Joe, I'm glad to see that you're now a chief. I've never obtained that. I ran for it once, but I was defeated. But as far as I'm concerned, for the many things, the help of getting me over and the many mistakes that you helped correct for me, I'm most thankful. It is a real pleasure, though, to introduce the next speaker, the man I had an opportunity to play for 6 years. He was rough, he was fair, and he was certainly a fine strategician as far as baseball is concerned. And without saying any more, because he'll tell you about it, I'd like to introduce one of the outstanding people of all time, a great player in his own right, and a tremendous manager and the holder of many, many records, some of which I helped him with a bit, Casey Stengel.
I want to start right in. I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and you young kids now that are carrying me on. If it hadn't been for the boys that are sitting back there and right here on this big table here, I wouldn't have been here. And if I hadn't lived a long time, I wouldn't be here. And there was many a time I looked like I wasn't going to live a lot of time. So some of these men here are the most outstanding men you ever saw in your life. They go to your right, go to your left. They go in on the ball, go over the ball. They played with old-fashioned gloves this big. One of them got married in one. See, this is true. He was there standing there, it's cold, you know, up in Alaska, and there he is with his glove on. See, and I said, "Jesus," I said, "is that guy cold up here?" And he said, "No, it's a little cold up there. That's his glove. He's playing up here in the winter." Now I'll get down to the real players, see? You got to say something now. I came here about 55 phone calls. And I don't like to talk about the Yankees too much because the Mets pay me a salary, see? And you got to go a little low on them. But if it hadn't been for them and those Mets players, I can tell you five or six things actually happened. Spawn started with me, and I think he played in a little town where they was making money with oil, Bradford, I think. And then he went there. And then he started the next year, I think it was in Hartford, he went there. So I just took one look at him, see, with the club that I had in the fall. And they got a few hits off of him and so forth. And then after I got fired, five straight years, he went 20 games a year. So you see, I said it was only 80. So he beat me out of 100 games of ball by me getting fired. So that's how good he was and how he continued his career. Now, the other thing I thought was one of the best plays I ever saw was in baseball. Some of these men will understand it or can understand it, because now I'll have to tell you 2 years ago I was made a chief here. And I want to tell you something I gained on it. They said nobody can understand him. That's why. That's why they lost 8 straight. They don't know what he says. It's Stingleese. But when I got that honor and I was made Chief Poohoo, I traveled in New England and I got that New England twang. And I went over to London and got that twang. And now they all can understand me and they want to make me an international speaker. Now, the best thing I saw about some of the plays that were made were good. I saw DiMaggio sit on the bench, play on the bench. He could go to his right, he could go to his left, he took a long stride. He never had to dive for the ball. And they said, why don't he have to dive for it? I said, he gets to it. What's he used to diving there? He's no swimmer. How about those boys dive down here? Oh, there goes the shoulder. Or they dive this way and say, tough luck. Hits the elbow. See? Now, if you're managing, you have bad luck. Now, the boys I had graduated with that. Some of these men here are good, terrific. Try and tear down their asset. I saw Joe could play out there, and it looked like when I looked at an outfield, I bandaged in a minor leg. I never had to watch center field after a week. Because if he wanted to go 5 feet to his right, he didn't argue, he didn't say anything. He went 5 feet to his right, and the other two followed him in the outfield. Now, you can't do that for a number of years and not make mistakes. And if you're the manager, that's what he accomplished. See? Now, if you wanted to go and get an Indian who was any good, and I thought that this one was Reynolds. When he came up to me, he graduated. He became a starting pitcher, and when I got in trouble, he became a relief pitcher. So he started in relief for me. And I want to tell you, that's something. Now, if you can do both of them, you're really something. And that's what this man did for me, and it's outstanding. And it was wonderful to say there isn't rivalry in baseball, was to see him and Wynn pitch against each other. Now you see another Indian. He is pretty good, too. He got over 200 games he won. And did you ever hit at him or ever watch him pitch? Did you ever see him look at his face, too? Go up where he had to go there. He'd say, shall hit it, and shall it not? Shall hit it? Up, you hit it. Oh, little papa. See? Well, who made him? He is an Indian. But when you get the rivalry of the Indian race of Wynn and Mr. Reynolds, you saw something. Boy, you ought to see those two pitch out there when they're against each other. And every fall, I used to come down here because Amazing Spawn had to pitch against Reynolds. With all the oil and everything they had down there, you had to come down there to see the farm that Spawn got and to see Reynolds go off. And I want to say, it's the third thing that I want to say out here, really, it was very good. The best play I ever saw in baseball that saved me was in New York City, and I had Lemon was a great pitcher when he was with them. They had Wynn, Lemon, and four of them in. They went 111 games 1 year, see? And I told everybody every day, I said, why, we knew it all the time. I said, well, win 92-3 for me. And I said, you got it. Just win 93 for me. They win 111, I win 103 and lost to Pettit. And then they said, this is the time to fire it. See? And it got to 103. They didn't say anything when you win 91. See, they did all right. Now, here's the best thing that I think the play was. I saw it happen. This is where it's interesting, these playoffs. Of course, you get money, somebody does, see? And I'll tell you about those playoffs. Pretty hard to play all year. You play good and not have a bad day. And that's a real risky thing in this business. And I know it lasts a long time. But I saw DiMaggio on third base and little Rizzuto at the plate. And little Rizzuto was up there with a bat. And I found out within 1 year, if you told him how to bunt, he couldn't bunt as good as if you let him bunt himself. So I forgot to tell him about it, see? And it's a good thing I didn't. I saw the best player I ever saw that beat win out of a pennant. Because you've got to put it down the right field line. Now he's a right-handed pitcher. He's pitching this way, and he's smart like this. And if he goes with a windup and he comes around here, he's got you. If you run before he pitches, you've got to see him open the hand. So Joe's down on third, never made mistakes. I don't know why. Used a little glove. Didn't have to dive for a ball. Covered more ground than anybody. Don't misjudge him. Has a peculiar stance at the plate. Played in the park, wasn't built for him. And then he wins three awards once 1 year, and I said, I guess he win all of them. And I guess he did. Now, here's what he did. They had a man playing third base for him. I don't want to say anything against his name or anything. His name was Lemon. And he says, I think they're going to bunt. And DiMaggio says, I wouldn't be surprised. But stood there like this. And when that guy opened them fingers, you can't think. It's gone. You're gone, too. And it went down the first baseline. He said, oh! He went over and got the ball, threw it out of the field. They didn't suspend him, but we win the pennant on it. Now, that one little play. But the execution of both those fellas. And if you saw two or three of these World Series plays, not criticism, you see somebody made a mistake. Now, of course, if you're going to walk a guy, you better get brave again in your life. And you better be like Drysdale is good. That the ball comes in at you. See, if you're a right-handed pitcher and right-handed man. So if you've got a man up there and you've got a man on third and a man on second, and you're going to play that infield in, you're better hitting that fella. You know, if you don't let him see when he opens this ball, or if he goes around, you're in trouble, you better throw at him, hit him, or pitch it back there. It's hard to bunt. You can't do it. Pitch it right back there, and then if you hit him, he can't score. Pardon me. Now, the man that taught me baseball was Mr. McGraw. I thought I didn't know anything. See, and when I got through, I said, Jesus, this man knows more than I ever heard of. I just played outfield. Now, the best and last thing I'm going to tell you is this, that some of these men up here, you'd be surprised how they did beat me. And you'd be surprised that each one of them had some of the most terrific assets that you ever saw. Some could do 5 out of 6 things, but if you've got a sore elbow, you can't pitch. If it, the elbow gets big, eh? But if you're going to be what you call nowadays, that they say, well, they played then like they did now. I said, well, I don't know. They played with the ball, and these fellas played pretty good for me, and they carried me in life. And each time I broke a leg, somebody kept me employed. And for these men, whether I hired or discharged them, I want to tell you something. Besides me getting by in the life, I still hear from fellas that own ball clubs. They're still alive today, so I didn't kill them. They're 90 now. See, I'm only 82. Thanks for this here. Thanks for coming here to see these wonderful men here. I hope I come down here in the future here, and I'm glad you have no mosquitoes, because I can't stand mosquitoes.